Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Although not true to the name Parsha and Kogel, I figured I would talk a little bit about something to take away from Purim. Now that Purim is over, maybe a parting message, which, you know, for full disclosure, I wrote up part of this as a Dvar Torah for Torah Mitzion this week. Torah Mitzion is one of the organizations affiliated with our Kolel. So they have us write every once in a while for their Shabbos bulletin. So I wrote a message and I said, you know what? I think this can be expanded into a Parsha and Kogel. Maybe even to full-length shir. But I figured let's take a look, first of all, at the way that Purim is turned into a holiday. There's so much emphasis in the Megillah of how Purim's going to be kept from year to year. And let's take a look at that first. I'll just read through some of the psukim in English. And then we'll move on to some other things. But says the Megillah, that was the 13th day of the month of Adar, and they rested on the 14th day and made it a day of feasting and merrymaking, meaning it's the day after, you know, whatever battles had taken place. But the Jews in Shushan mustered on both the 13th and 14th days, and so rested on the 15th and made it a day of feasting and merrymaking. Okay, so that year we know there's a day of feasting and merrymaking on the day that they rest, okay? So, therefore, says the Megillah, that is why village Jews who live in unwalled towns observe the 14th day of the month of Adar and make it a day of merrymaking and feasting as a holiday and an occasion for sending gifts to one another. Okay, so therefore, Osim Es Yom HaRasar L'Chodesh Adar Simchom Ishtav Yom Tov, it sounds like this is already something happening, okay? They already have a Yom Tov, and they're making it Al-Kain. Therefore, because of what happened in that year, therefore every year they make it Simcha Umishtev Yom Tov, and they send packages to each other. By the way, note what's missing here. They make a Mishteh, they send packages, the Megillah is still being written. What's missing? What's the fourth mitzvah of Purim that's not here?
Gifts to the poor.
Gifts to the poor. What's it?
Yeah. Gifts to the poor. Matanos Le'Avyonim, right? However, continues the Megillah, Vayichtov Mordechai said, Mordechai recorded these events. He sent dispatches to all the Jews throughout the province of King Ahasuerus, near and far, charging them to observe the 14th and 15th days of Adar every year, the same days on which the Jews enjoyed relief from their foes, and the same month which had been transformed for them, from one of grief and mourning to one of festive joy. They were to observe them as days of feasting and merrymaking, and as an occasion for sending gifts to one another and presents to the poor. This is something I actually happened to mention to the Rav on Purim, and I guess we can mention it here. It's not what the main part is, but I heard in the name of Rabbi Luchstein, what changed? Beforehand, it says, it was Yom, you know, right? Simcha Mishtev Yom Tov, Mishlach Nos Ish L'Rehu, period. And now we have Matanos L'Avyonim. What changed? What happened in the pasuk in between?
Historically?
Right here, what did we just read? What happened between where the day of Purim was described as non-Matanos Le'Avyonim Purim and yes, Matanos Le'Avyonim Purim?
Within Shushan and
within the Megillah. There's one pasuk in between them. Right?
This is going forward for future years?
So it sounds like, as I pointed out, the first one is also going forward for future years. The answer is, Vayichtov Mordechai said, Vayichtov Mordechai said, Vayichtov Mordechai wrote this up, and he sent to everybody, what's the difference? Your holidays have to have an element of Matanos Le'Avyonim too. And in fact, v'kibel ha'yehudim eis asher hechil la'asos, the Jews assumed that which they began to do, right? We said beforehand, they accepted the Yom Tov of Purim, and then Mordechai writes to them with some sort of, you know, small detail. So number one, they accepted that which they had begun. Number two, v'eis asher kasav Mordechai alehem, that which Mordechai wrote for them, potentially meaning even the Matanos Le'Avyonim, but we see that Purim was something which there was an element that the people there already appreciated and already had started to perform for themselves, and it was sort of also added on as a holiday. And if you go on, you have more psukim about that, and more psukim about that, and more psukim about that. And how they are nizkarim v'na'asim b'chol dor v'ador, they are recalled and observed in every generation, family by family, province by province, city by city. V'imeha purim ha'ilin, source number two, the second line, the second pasuk, which is pasuk 28 in chapter 9. V'imeha purim ha'ilin lo yavru mitoch ha'yudim v'zichram lo yasuf mizram. These days of Purim shall never cease among the Jews, and the memory of them shall never perish among their descendants. So we see strength upon strength being added to the level of observance of Purim, beginning with just some people deciding, I remember last year, that was so great. And they party. And Mordechai says, you got to do this. And now we're hearing from the Megillah, it's never going to be forgotten. It's so important. It's so crucial. And again, it continues. Esther writes this down, a second letter of Purim, and they send out again all of these dispatches to all of the Jews in all of the different areas. Again, lekayem es yemei haPurim ha'ela bizmanehem. And if you, again, as we focus on the translate, we're flipping on the translation as we flip over the page, these days of Purim shall be observed at the proper time, as Mordechai the Jew and now Queen Esther has obligated them to do, just as they have assumed for themselves and their descendants the obligation of fasts with their lamentations. And Esther's ordinance validating these observances of Purim was recorded in a scroll. So we've got not only the Jews beginning to do it, we've got Mordechai sending them scrolls, we've got Esther sending them scrolls, and each time we're assured this is never going to be forgotten. This is staying forever. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim alehem ve'alzaram ve'alkol ha'nilvim alehem. Purim's never going away. And that's going to be very, very important to remember for later on in this year. But I really want to be, after that introduction, I want to begin with a point from the first pasuk of the 10th chapter, the last chapter of the Megillah. Now that we've said Purim is a holiday, that ends, that section that we just read, ends chapter 9. Chapter 10 has three psukim in it. The first one is right here. Vayasam ha-melech Achashverosh mas al ha'aretz v'yehayam. King Achashverosh imposes a tax on that which he has on the mainland and also on those islands that he is in control of. Some of Farshim actually say it was even on places which he wasn't in control of, but that's not, again, our focus right now. Now, what's the purpose of the Megillah telling us this?
Tax was on everybody?
Tax was on everybody.
The king was behind it.
The king was behind it, yep.
Absolutely.
It's not just Esther and Mordechai, although some Mefarshim do point to that, and they say, look what a good, you know, advisor Mordechai was, that he told the king, you can put more taxes on the people. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, some Mefarshim take that route.
No indication of what the tax money is for?
No indication what the tax money is for.
It seems like a non sequitur, really.
It does seem like a non sequitur. That's why it puzzles the Mefarshim and us.
Okay, good. So we're duly puzzled.
I do not have a Sadja going on the sheet, but
what Sadja says, that this actually was written by Mordechai as a secular document for Persian annals.
Right.
And then it was later translated into Hebrew. So if you look at it as a Persian nationalistic document, mm-hmm. to talk about some Persian history, then it would make sense why this is sort of the postscript to the story.
Interesting. I saw that Sadja go in regards to Shem Hashem. Ibn Ezra quotes it in his Akdama, but that's very interesting. Mm. I wanted to approach it from a bit of a different perspective. The Gemara tells us, right, and let's begin in source number 4. Amar Rechia bar Avin, Amar Rishua ben Karcha. Rechia bar Avin says in the name of Rishua ben Karcha, Uma me avdus lecherus amrinan shira. If, when we're delivered from slavery to freedom, we say praises, we sing songs of praise, meaning we sang the Shirat Hayam when we were saved from the Egyptians, Mimisa lechayim lo kol shekein. Shouldn't we certainly then sing songs and say shira? And this is why we read the Megillah on Purim. Why? Because we didn't just go from slavery to freedom. We should have been killed, but yet we were saved. That's why we read the Megillah. Ask the Gemara. If so, ihachi halal nami neima. Why do we not say halal on Purim? We know Purim morning davening was long, but it wasn't that long. Somebody told me the reason why we don't say halal on Purim is because people will go crazy. Maybe. But the Gemara asked this question. The Gemara gives a number of answers. The Gemara gives three answers. But I wanted to focus on the last answer that we have here, which I quote Rav Nachman first, but Rav Nachman arakuyasuzu alayla. Rav Nachman says, actually, the reading of the Megillah is halal. But Rava says there's something that's the opposite. Rav Nachman's saying, yes, we are actually saying halal on Purim. Rava says, no, there is a reason why we don't say halal on Purim. Bishlama hasam, he says, let's look back at Yetzias Mitzrayim for a moment. Over there, we could say, as we open in Halal, Halalu Avdei Hashem, you know, Velo Avdei Faro. Now we can say, we are free. We're no longer slaves to anyone but Hashem. But in the Megillah, what happens? Elahacha, Halalu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Achashverosh? Can you really say that we're truly just slaves to God? We're still slaves to Achashverosh. Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. This is a famous line, and perhaps what the purpose of the Megillah is to show that, yes, you know what, after the Purim story was over, after the Nes happens, the next day everybody went back to work, and they still had to pay their taxes to Achashverosh.
Even more.
Not unlike...
Even
exactly.
More taxes.
Well, It could have been that there was an earlier tax break when Esther became appointed queen. It could be. The Megillah says that outright, and the Mefarshim connect that as well. Uh-huh. But the point is that this Mas al Haaretz v'Ayam is to emphasize all the Jews where they were. You know what? They were still beholden to what the king said, and really they weren't any freer than they were 12 months prior, or however long, before Haman arose to try to kill them.
At least they were there.
Right.
They didn't get wiped out.
Correct. And so that's a nice thing, but at the end of the day, says Rava, you can't say Shira under such circumstances.
It also teaches us that it's worthy of celebrating the fact that we live in a country that offers us freedoms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's worthy of making so we should celebrate.
Or at the least, we're at the very least celebrating
well.
When we are not killed.
Right.
If we should have been killed in
it
first
gives
place.
Gives accountants like me a job, too. So.
Right.
It's not bad.
I was going to say, and this actually, truth is, this makes it very relatable for us, right? We know that tax day, both in the U.S. and Canada, is very much not
upcoming,
far away after
yes.
Purim.
Yes.
It's really upcoming.
Yes.
And this kind of makes it a little bit of a holiday that we can connect to more. Every single other Yom Tov, as far as I'm aware, has some important Beis HaMikdash or Geula element. Even the other comparable holiday, we call the other rabbinic holiday that's later on, Hanukkah, we regain possession of the Beis HaMikdash, we return to rule, we're able to light the menorah. I mean, there's a lot going on that's relating to the Beis HaMikdash, and certainly those other holidays that we have from the Torah, never mind the korbanos and all the things we do in the Beis HaMikdash, but the centrality of some of those celebrations were becoming a free nation, exactly as we've emphasized in the Gemara here. And I think that this can help us understand two very strange statements that we find about Purim. Looking back to the Pesukim that we quoted at first, you'll have noticed that a lot of them say, Purim's never going to end, Purim's never going to end, we're always going to keep Purim. And the Yalkut Shimoni in Mishle famously says, brings an opinion there, Shekol ha-mo'adim asidin li-batel v'imeha Purim eina betelem la'olam. All of the holidays will at some point be abolished, but the days of Purim, those will never change. Those will never be canceled. There will be a time where, this Medrash says, we will not be celebrating Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Hanukkah, but Purim we will be celebrating. Now, to take this as a halachic source and you know, is obviously very tough to say something like this based on one Medrash that we have.
Rush through the Shalach Manos and finish it off before Pesach.
Well, it's true. That will be a definite plus. On the other hand, this is, you know, a little bit hard to take. The Medrash there, by the way, does supply another opinion that also Yom Kippur will remain, and that's part of the fodder for the discussion of Purim, Yom Kippurim. But both of them have psukim that tell us, you know, sort of this will go on forever. By Yom Kippur, vices Islam Chukas Olam. And here, again, we read a number of psukim that this will go on forever. But the Rambam himself also makes, you know, a similar comment, saying, Kol sifrei ha-neviim v'chalak suvim asidin libat alimos ha-mashiach. All of the different Sfarim of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim will all again be abolished in some way in the times of Mashiach, except for Megillas Esther, which will remain. There will be Chamish Yechom Shei Torah and Megillas Esther, and that's it. And why is this? And I think that that's exactly the reason. Because this Yom Tov is so disconnected from Geula, when we reach that final Geula, it won't go away. It won't be stopped. Meaning, I'm not saying that literally we will not be keeping Pesach when the Beis HaMikdash comes, and we won't be bringing a Karban Pesach, and we won't be celebrating all the Yamim Tovim as they're written in the Torah. That's not necessarily the case. But our focus on Pesach right now is, wow, we wish we were back in those days when we were free from Egypt and we were traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And that's really the talk of all of Tanakh as well, is here we, you know, finally, beginning from Sefer Yehoshua all the way through all the Nevi'im and all the stories that we have, is all looking towards the Beis HaMikdash, how amazing it is to have a Beis HaMikdash. And when we lose the Beis HaMikdash, Musar, you got to get the Beis HaMikdash back. Our focuses on the Yamim Tovim are similar. They're a bit, little bit of nostalgia and a little bit of looking forward. But once we achieve that, we lose a little bit of the way that we celebrate the Yamim Tovim right now. Right now we celebrate Pesach wishing that we could be back in the Beis HaMikdash, and then no longer we'll be there. It will be accomplished. We'll be able to celebrate it still, but it won't be quite exactly the same. And I think that that's perhaps what the Medrash and the Rambam mean when they say that this Purim is everlasting. Because it's so disconnected, it's about taking that inspiration wherever we are. We're not trying to be back in Shushan under Achashverosh, but even under Achashverosh, we can still have a kimu v'kiblu, we can still reaccept the Torah, we can still strengthen ourselves in our Torah and mitzvos, And with that, that holiday and that aspect of the holiday doesn't matter whether you have a Beis HaMikdash or you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Whether you have Korbanos or you don't have Korbanos, whether you have Eretz Yisrael or whether you don't have Eretz Yisrael, whether you have taxes that you have to file or you don't have taxes you have to file, it all works out the same. Which is untrue about the rest of the Yamim Tovim, and also the rest of the story of our history. So this is very unique in that it is something that's disconnected from that, and therefore I think this could be the intention of Purim being an enduring holiday.
Very nice question.